What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. Acts 17:23. Let's pray. Dear God, whatever the season, help us to seek you, to listen for you, to be filled with your grace, and to follow you in ways which are life-giving and which bring you glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps something like this has happened to you lately. While walking near St. Bryce's this past Wednesday, I passed a man on the sidewalk who was smoking and sweeping the sidewalk. We made eye contact, and that was enough of an invitation. He struck up a conversation with me, telling me that work was slow because of the pandemic. He cleaned carpets, but people don't want visitors in their homes. How many hours a week he worked, his hobbies, what he thought of the weather, and so on. He was doing anything he could to keep the conversation going. He admitted he was bored, and he was lonely for someone to talk to. He wanted to be in relationship with someone, to have a social connection. It happened that I was nearby and had a pulse. Maybe a clerical caller helped. We are designed to be in relationship, to have connections of genuine love. Ultimately, we are designed to be in a loving relationship with God Himself. Sin separates us from this close relationship with God. But the gospel message is that God restores our relationships through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity is involved. As human beings, we are designed to be in relationship. One of the challenges we face during this pandemic is that we have fewer social connections. Some of us are isolated and don't have the same opportunities for hugs and handshakes, for normal human contact. We are made to be in relationship. We can see this throughout the scriptures. In the very beginning, we can read the story of Adam and Eve, the perfect representatives of our humanity. In Genesis 2, we learn that Adam had so much going for him. He had a beautiful garden. He was close to God in his innocence. There was the beauty of creation. But Adam was lonely. He needed to have companionship, the companionship of another human being. So we read that God created Eve too. They had a shared, complementary relationship with shared intimacy. That's just the beginning, not the end. Just a little later, we read about Abraham, the first patriarch of the Jewish nation. Abraham longed for a family, for descendants. And God graciously reaches out to Abraham, and God begins a covenant relationship with the nation. A covenant relationship is formed between the living God and his people, living in faithful relationship with him. One way to understand the biblical prophets is that they are always calling people back into right relationship with one another and with the Lord. Yet this need to be in relationship is broader even than a nation. When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as his children. Galatians 4:5. God's ultimate aim is for a renewed relationship between our Abba, our dear Heavenly Father, as adopted sons and daughters. And not just for one nation either, but for all nations. The prophet Isaiah said of the Lord, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. 63. Remember the Gentiles, the foreign wise men, coming to worship little Jesus? All nations are to be welcomed into the relationship through the incarnation of the Son of God. As we read about the Apostolic Church in the book of Acts, we read how the Holy Spirit not only came to the Jewish followers of Jesus, gathered in Jerusalem, to everyone's astonishment, even the Gentiles, the foreigners, were given the gift of the Holy Spirit and became adopted sons and daughters of our true King. This fact of the gospel, of our need to be in a relationship of love and forgiveness with one another and with Christ, with God Himself, has been faithfully proclaimed and lived by Christians throughout the ages. We ourselves are followers of Jesus Christ because someone or a group of people loved us enough to share the good news with us and allow us to respond to this offer of divine love shown in Christ. We are designed to be in relationship. Here in St. Bryce's Parish, we're offering the Alpha Course right now. A guest on the course very kindly shared a video by a speaker named Canon Ashley Null, who teaches at the University of Durham. Dr. Null's point is the traditional liturgy for Anglicans is completely based on our longing for God and His longing for us. And that longing is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Canon Null was saying that our piety, our worship, is shaped by this longing to be in right relationship. Our mission, the mission of the Universal Church, is to strengthen and to expand opportunities to be in right relationship. There's no lack on God's part. God's desire to be in close relationship with us was so powerful, so self-giving, that God the Son sacrificed His own life on the cross to bring about our freedom. God is utterly self-giving at cost beyond measure to bring His adopted children to their true home. Not going backwards to the Garden of Eden, but sweeping us up into the heavenly reality. St. Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is not a condemnation of anyone, but our common fulfillment. It is our privilege and our full joy. So God's gracious invitation is unreserved and abundant beyond measure. For our part, how are we contributing to God's vision? How are we meeting human needs of this longing for relationship? We ought not to be satisfied with stopping, thinking that it's good enough. We're called to expand and to deepen our relationships with God and with one another. Adapted from a comment by theologian Shirley Guthrie, it's often said that the church is the only club which exists for the benefit of its non-members. The church is the only club which exists for the benefit of its non-members. God did not create the church as an end in ourselves. We are the body of Christ, so the lives of men and women everywhere, beyond the church walls, will be transformed for eternity. So God's kingdom may be established on earth as it is in heaven. Our aim is always to expand our relationships, to model what true love is like, to live it, and to obey it. It's an enormous privilege to serve as the parish priest at St. Bryce's. Of course, there are people of love and faith elsewhere. But we are a community in which there is a high emphasis on our love for one another and for the Lord. Let's treasure that, and let's build on that. We might consider, how can we share our love with others and to provide opportunities, if they wish, for them to encounter God's perfect, self-giving love, shown supremely in Jesus Christ? How can we extend opportunities to be in relationship? Let's prayerfully consider this and then live it out. For a biblical example of one way to expand the opportunities for relationship, let's consider the first reading appointed for today from Acts 17. The context is that the Apostle Paul is in the Greek city of Athens. Paul is irked because there are altars to all kinds of little g gods. To make sure they covered all their bases, the Athenians dedicated places of worship to every god they could possibly think of. And they also had an altar which was dedicated to an unknown god, another god they might not have heard of. Paul comes across this altar to an unknown god in Athens. And that's how Paul begins his sermon in today's reading. Paul doesn't begin by telling the people of Athens what terrible sinners they are, although they are indeed sinners, as is Paul himself. Paul does not judge or condemn. Instead, Paul begins by referring to the altar to an unknown god, and then, in effect, makes an introduction. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. Verse 23. Paul's introduction can be a model for you and for me today. We are not to judge. We leave that to God, the most merciful judge, who perfectly knows the depth of every human heart. We are not to condemn, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17. Besides, there are already a lot of people who do a darn good job of condemning themselves. They don't need any more condemnation heaped on them from us. Instead, let's take natural opportunities to foster godly relationships, to build bridges within the church and with the everyday people we meet for whom Jesus Christ gave his life. Let's take time to notice people on the margins of our lives and to invite them in. It is the Spirit of God who can help draw them to himself. We are all designed to be in relationship. Let's strengthen our relationships with God and with one another, especially during this time of pandemic. But let's also seek to encourage more healthy relationships, relationships of love and forgiveness and peace, further and deeper. In a broken, frightened world, so many people are blindly making altars for worship. who need the opportunity to be graciously introduced to the unknown God. Amen.